columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Our love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, Zach Bye? I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Brandon Stokely?
All good, all good.
Yeah,
got a little workout in, got in the steam room, sweated a little bit this morning. It's always good to get that workout in, you know, just didn't really want to get it in. Got on the Peloton yesterday, Orlando. I'm not sure if he's been on there yet or not. I don't want to call him out because I hadn't checked his history here. But I didn't want to get that workout in yesterday, late evening. But I got down there, got on that Peloton, got the workout in, woke up this morning, felt better. Got on the elliptical, lifted some weights, steam room. I feel great, man. I feel great, ready to rock and roll. Got some energy, got my coffee, got my salad right here. I'm ready to have a great show.
What a tone setter of a morning.
That's right. Set the tone, you know, set the tone for the rest of your day.
I love it. Do what's hard and then it comes easy. I love it.
Whatever that means, yes. Whatever that means, yes. I second that. Might be swinging the sticks here this afternoon.
I was just gonna say, you gonna be hitting them around or what?
I think so. Yep. Looking forward to that. Are you playing today?
I am playing today. I am playing a course. Let me see if you heard of this. It is the Foothills.
Foothills
Golf Course. It's on Carr
Street
in Denver.
Sounds like pretty scenic.
I don't know. Never been there, but it's
nice.
In Denver. It's a little bit up north from where I'm at right now. But yeah, looking forward. This will be a third week in a row. This will be the most golfing I've ever done consecutively in my life.
Well, I feel bad. I wanted to get out today. I just didn't get out this morning at all. I'm going to do it tomorrow because I just couldn't get out this morning because I had to get my workout in. I'm taking the day off tomorrow, so I'm going to get out tomorrow. But I'd like to, because I hadn't seen you forever, I'd like to connect and get you a couple clubs there, driver and rescue club or something to spring. You know, put a little pep in that bag. You know, maybe
sure.
Add a little distance to that drive of yours. So,
I love it.
So next time you play,
rescue club's like my favorite club.
That's it. Okay.
I love my rescue club. I need it a lot. Looking forward to playing.
Good.
If you're anywhere out there in the foothills, say hello. I'll be out there with my buddies Tommy and Jan. And are you feeling a lot of anticipation and maybe a little bit of nerves from your buddy Peyton leading into this weekend?
Anything from him?
Yeah. Is he, like, getting antsy? Is he excited? Is he nervous?
No, I don't think he's, he's just doing what he does. You know, he's just doing what he does. He's getting ready to go. You know, he's getting ready to compete.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Would you think anything less?
No.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he's just getting ready to go out there and compete, have some fun, raise a lot of money. Obviously, that's first and foremost is to go out there, have some fun. It's great cause that they're doing it for. But on top of that, it's to go compete and try to win, right? I mean, wouldn't that be your mindset?
Of course.
Don't you think that's going to be his?
Of course.
Right,
of
exactly.
Course. Well, you know what? I'm really excited about it. This Sunday on TNT, Phil and Brady against Tiger and Peyton. I think it's going to be right in the middle of the afternoon, I want to say. It's going to be, I think, 1 o'clock.
Is that what time it starts here?
Yeah, I believe 1 o'clock our
Perfect.
Time, 3 o'clock down there in Florida. I looked at the updated odds on CBS Sports.
Man, it's
2-1. It's 2-1 now.
I was looking at it was like 225, minus 225, which means, you have to lay 225 to win 100 on Peyton.
Right.
And Woods. And I'm like, I like him. But, man, it's almost not even worth risking it, right? Because you look on the other side. I mean, Mickelson isn't like he's a hack over there.
Right, right.
And Brady's, he's a solid golfer, 8 handicap. I mean, so I'm sure he's been grinding. I mean, wouldn't you think he's been playing a little golf here?
Well, I think he's playing, but, you talk about this guy is a current professional athlete who's getting
sure.
ready for a season. I mean, this guy was in shoulder pads yesterday.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that a little
bit
more.
At 7 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
He worked out for 2 hours. so yeah. you have the rest of your day to do whatever you want. I mean, it's not like he's got meetings from 7 to, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You go out there and you work out a couple hours. Maybe you get on the meeting, you know, you stop by Byron Leftwich's house again and do a meeting for a couple hours. Then you're free for the rest of the day if you want to get a few rounds in or get some work on your game. I mean, you got all day. Well, so I guarantee you he's grinding also.
You know what?
Just like they all
are.
You're
right. You're right.
They're all working on their game. They're all trying to get better. Nobody wants to go out there and play bad golf.
No, of course not. And maybe I'm overemphasizing like the framework here of the conversation. Because here's the framework of it. This is Tiger's course. Nobody knows the course better than Tiger. And Brady has not been playing enough golf to the level of Peyton here the last couple of years because Peyton's retired and plays twice as much golf as a current professional
athlete. Well, it looked like Brady started playing a lot of golf this year towards the end of the year. Looked like he started maybe picking up the golf club a little bit more because his game kind of went downhill.
I don't know. I'm just giving
it's
you
a
the,
joke. You're supposed to laugh at
no,
it, Zach. But, goodness
well,
gracious!
If it was funny, I would have laughed.
Well, it was funny for everybody else, but you.
Look, I think those are kind of like the very basic parameters of this thing. Tiger's course. He knows right. it, and Peyton yeah. plays more golf and should be a better golfer. But maybe we're just kind of overstating that.
No, that's an advantage, certainly. Tiger's course, a huge advantage, knowing that course. I think Phil said he's never played it.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
But Phil's running his mouth a little bit about, hey, you know what, this is going to be even sweeter. We're going to Tiger's home course. We're going to beat him on his home course. Every time he goes to that course, he's going to have to think about us beating him.
Oh,
you know,
man.
We talked about that. Yeah, oh, yeah, he said we talked about playing in different places, but Tiger was adamant we had to play it at his course. And so, all right, that's fine. We're going to go out there and we're going to beat him on his course. So, you know, there is an added piece of pressure there, and Phil is making sure that Tiger knows that. But certainly, you know, you do have an advantage if it's your course and you know the course and you know all the breaks on the green, you know how to read them, you know where to miss the shots. All those things is a huge advantage for those guys. But still, you got to go out there and execute. That's the bottom line. And there is a little bit of added pressure on Tiger being you know, his home course. And they're the big favorites. So it's going to be fun, though. It's going to be, you know, this is the other one that they had with Rory and Dustin and Fowler. It just wasn't very entertaining
kind
for me.
Kind of fell flat,
yeah.
Huh?
But this one I think will deliver, certainly when you got the dynamics at play here with Tiger and Phil. Peyton and Tom, I think it's going to deliver.
Yeah, and they're going to be mic'd up the whole time, so I'm expecting some real zingers from Peyton. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure he's working on them in the mirror as we speak. But I pulled up some of the odds here, Stoke.
Okay.
There's a lot of props on this thing.
Oh,
there's a lot of props. I haven't noticed.
There is?
So you're looking at, in general, depending on where
you're going to take a loan out.
A payday loan?
I mean, look, it's legal in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's legal in Colorado.
It is.
I'm throwing some action down on Sunday, okay?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's
happening.
It's as legal as buying a gallon of milk. There
right.
is no question about it. So you have, in general, you're looking at like 2-1 odds for Woods and Manning, maybe a little bit more, depending on where you're looking. But as of yesterday, CBS Sports had them as 2-1. The first team to go one up is -125, Woods and Manning. So if you want to attack it early,
right,
you can go that route and get much better odds than the 2-1 or maybe even more inflated than that for the whole match.
Right.
One team wins 3 holes in a row.
Wow.
So any team winning 3 holes in a row, yes, is +475.
Yeah, that's tough to do. I mean, you know, you count one ball, and so that's tough to win 3 holes in a row.
But it could happen.
It could happen. Somebody could go on a run there. But
sure.
I would think that what is no?
-650.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, and just a real quick to reset how it's going down, they're doing best ball through the front nine and then alternating swings for the back nine. Is that right?
Yes, that's the last I heard. Best ball, you know, so everybody plays their own ball on the front. Low score on the hole wins the hole.
Okay,
and I think that Peyton and Tom might be getting 3 shots on the front each. They're going to just play even. They're going to get three shots on the three toughest holes on the front, what it might be. So, you know, if they make a par on one of their shot holes, then now that par ends up being a birdie. So it kind of keeps them in play a little bit more, because if they're not getting shots, usually you're not going to be using them at all on the front.
How
many bogeys is Phil and Tiger going to make? And on those holes, are Peyton and Tom going to make a par? So they really won't be involved a lot. But once you give them shots now, hey, grind for a par. That par is a birdie now.
Sure.
And so it keeps you and keeps those worst players involved more when you have the shots in play. So I think that's probably going to make it more entertaining and make those guys more involved on the front than the back nine. I think it's all, you know, there's no shots on the back nine. Everybody manning up and everybody tees off, and you go to the best tee shot, and then, you know, whoever's tee shot you use, the other guy's got to hit that shot, alternating shot.
Got it.
And then I think there was a provision there. I think there was a provision there where they had to use a few of Brady shots off the tee and a few of Peyton shots. So, like, hey, you're playing nine holes of alternate shots. Three of those holes have to be one of Brady's drives and one of Manning's drives. You can't just use Tiger's and Phil's every time.
Gotcha.
So a little bit of strategy involved there, right?
Oh, that's really cool. I really like how they're stepping outside of the box of golf.
Yeah, make it a little different. I mean, you can't just go out there and say, okay, we're going to just play it like it is. You want Manning and Brady to be involved a little bit, and I think when you have the alternate shot, but also you say, hey, you got to use three of your tee shots, the Brady or Manning, they got to use three of those tee shots. Now you have strategy involved, because certainly you don't want to get down to 18, you know, having to use one of their tee shots. You would prefer for those to be over with, and you get to 18, you could take the best tee shot out there. So strategy involved there. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I cannot wait for this, because I got to be honest with you, I've never seen Peyton or Brady golf. Now, I know there's been opportunities to watch them play, and I suppose I've seen a couple shots here and there from Peyton when he's played with Eli. They run him on Sports Center. I guess I have seen a little bit. But really, to like see them play a hole, to see them play a round, it's almost like you've had the opportunity to watch it. It's almost like when they take our show and put us in the morning show or the drive show. You've had opportunities to listen to us. Everyone does, but you're being introduced to a whole new audience. And that's kind of what is happening here, that we're going to see Peyton and Brady through a whole match play with Tiger and Phil. Man, I'm finding myself day by day as we get closer to this thing as excited as I would be, I don't know, just like a traditional sporting event that I'm in general looking forward to.
Yeah, I think, I'm feeling the same way. This is one, you know, the one with Rory and Dustin the other, on Sunday, I picked it up on like hole 10. Just out and back and turn the TV on. And so it wasn't like I had to be there watching it on hole one. And like I said, the NASCAR I didn't even watch. But this is, on the couch, 30 minutes, an hour before, whenever the thing comes on, you know, I'm all in for the whole thing. I haven't seen Brady play, and I haven't seen Phil and Tiger play in a long time.
Yeah.
And I love both of those guys, and I love watching them play golf. And so I've seen Peyton play a lot here as of recently. And so for me, it's going to be fun to watch him, you know, go down to Florida. I played that course with him in Florida 7-8 years ago. And so that's going to be cool for me to try to, you know, remember some of those holes where I wasn't looking for my golf ball every hole, you know.
Right.
And my one par hole, I promise you, I'll point that par hole out. It's a little dog leg left. I think it's like 13 or 14, and so that was my par hole at the Medalist. So it's going to be cool to kind of go back and try to remember some of those holes.
Man, that's really cool. Unique for you to go in the Wayback Machine from about however many years ago it was by now, where you played down there with Tiger from those Tiger tees, and that great story that Peyton told about, you know, didn't have any balls left on the final hole and is asking you for a ball, and he only had a yellow ball left. And that was a great story. And I'll say this too. I am as looking forward to, and I know I'm obviously, you know, joking around saying Peyton, you know, reciting his lines in the mirror, obviously in jest. I'm looking forward to Peyton having this sort of stage and just being himself. You know, and out there being the funny dude that he is, and there's going to be some one-liners in there that I'm sure are going to resonate. And you mentioned NASCAR. NASCAR is on tonight.
Oh, it's, okay, that's right. That's what you said. It's going to be on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're going back to Darlington Raceway. So, to my knowledge, this is the first time I ever remember NASCAR being in prime time during the week. So I know a lot of NASCAR fans have been asking for that through the years. And these are going to be some of the same guys that just raced on Sunday.
Do we have any of the numbers from on Sunday from the golf or the NASCAR on Sunday? We got to try to see if we can find those out and see what they look like.
You're talking about from like a ratings standpoint?
Yeah. The TV rating numbers. What they look like for the golf exhibition?
It was huge. For NASCAR, it was huge.
Was it really?
Yep. It was over 6 million viewers, a 38% jump over the previous race on March 8th.
Wow.
So nearly up 40% in viewership.
I wonder what that golf was. And then, you know, we'll look and see what Sunday is going to be. I'm sure Sunday is going to blow it away. But
oh, yeah.
Right, but at the same time, I wonder what it was. You know, for just those four guys going out there, you know, none of them have great personalities. You know, when you look at all four of them, it wasn't very much there. But still, if you're a golf fan, you're going to watch it. And so I did. But I don't think the casual fringe fan would watch Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy,
right,
and those guys play last Sunday. So it'd be interesting to see what those numbers are, and then what it's going to be this Sunday.
Yeah, I cannot wait. And I'm pulling up the golf match from this past weekend.
Okay.
that you're talking about here. Looks like 16% more viewers than the last typical golf match. So everything's up.
I mean,
everything's up across the board. That didn't smash like 40% up the way that NASCAR did. But everything's up. People are thirsty for content. People are thirsty for competition. And look, I mean, can't wait for the weekend.
And they got all kind of cool prop bets. You know, they do. I've seen some different ones. You know, Does Peyton hit the fairway on one, or does Tom hit the fairway on number one? Things like that, which makes it fun and interesting even more so than what it's going to be. So a lot of cool, unique, different kind of prop bets, just like the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what makes the Super Bowl so fun. You can look at, okay, coin toss, heads or tails, right?
The color of the Gatorade that gets poured on the
coach.
Yeah,
just things like that make watching it even more enjoyable, and that's kind of what you're seeing here with all these different prop bets that they have out there. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Going to be awesome. By the way, since we're talking about sports, you know, it's returning slowly here as the darkness comes up to a dim light and gets a little bit brighter with each passing week, I think, here. The NBA is on the comeback trail, man. The NBA is on the comeback
really?
Trail. Yep. Breaking news here in the last couple hours. Sham Sharania of The Athletic putting out there that the NBA has Orlando / Disney World as a clear front runner for return to play site for resuming the 2019-20 season. Sources tell him and Sam Emmerich of the USA Today, Orlando has gained significant seriousness among other sites such as Las Vegas. So the plan is being formulated right now, and the NBA, it feels like, you know, wants to be the first back. There's been whispers of that, and you're seeing a pathway for it to come back.
I didn't see that. I was grinding over film of Arkansas, Kentucky, and watching
McTelvin Ajeem,
watching him, number three, play right in the defensive line and trying to figure out which one he was. So I was busy, you know, grinding over watching that classic of a football game. So I didn't see the NBA news. Sorry.
It is all good. You are a grinder. You're doing your work. We're going to step into the fan film room here shortly.
We'll break that down. There's some good stuff on him, though, that I saw. Can't wait to get to it. But that's great news. You look at it, that's, you know, that best case scenario. I think that's probably the best approach, that you go to one centralized location and have everybody right there. And, you know, if you can do it in Disney or wherever it is, Orlando down there, where obviously they have the resources and the rooms and all those things to accommodate that. I mean, like you said, Zach, you know, we talked about it yesterday. I think the day before, momentum's starting to go.
Yeah.
You know, you heard New York Governor Andrew Cuomo coming out. Hey, they're open for business. Hey, bring these sports teams back. We're ready. When they're ready, we're ready. And
yep.
So then yesterday, you know, you're hearing the news. And then today, you know, NBA and the news there. So, you know, momentum going in the right direction, which is great. I can't wait to you know, watch the conclusion of the basketball season here. Don't know what it's going to look like. You know, I mean, how many games are going to be cut off the schedule here and what it's going to look like, but certainly a return of play for basketball getting started in baseball and return to hockey would be great. But momentum starting to go for basketball, that's good news.
Yeah, it really is. And it feels like, Stoke, it feels like this week in particular may be the most encouraging week in this regard since you and I were at a sports bar.
I knew where you're going.
Over the course of a three-hour show.
Oh, my goodness.
When you and I signed on the air.
Where were we at? That was a great place.
It's so great right you can't remember the name.
Right. No, I'd only been there once, but it was awesome.
I know. It was great. But it was somber. Like, the whole mood was so somber when we were in there. And by the time that we signed on the air to the time that we signed off the air, NASCAR suspended its season. March Madness was canceled. Yep. Duke said that
the conference championships got canceled at halftime of one of the games that day. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it was Providence. They were playing. It was halftime.
Right.
The game was canceled. Again, Duke came out and said even if March Madness resumes, because it was postponed, it wasn't canceled at that point. They said even if it resumes, Duke will not be involved. The baseball season was suspended while we were on the air. It was crazy. It felt like we were in some sort of bizarro universe. And it was a day doing radio that I will never, ever, ever forget. But since that point in time, judging by week by week and the temperature of this pandemic, it feels like in terms of the just the context of pro sports returning, it feels like this was the most impactful week with the governors. You got Cuomo out there in New York. You got, what's his name there, handsome fella in California. Gavin Newsom out there saying that pro sports can return. Texas saying that pro sports can return. And then Nikki reporting yesterday or the day before that Governor Polis said that we're ready when they're ready. So it feels, man, I can feel it, man. I can feel it.
Yeah, it is. The momentum's heading in the right way, so... Well, like you said, good news is we'll take any of it right now. And so certainly good news today. NBA, you know, possibly going to Orlando. So that's
I love
that's great, man.
I
that's
love
great,
it, man.
Yeah.
It's happening. And guess what? I'm going to make a prediction right now. Later today, I'm going to make a par putt.
You're going to make a par putt.
Feeling good. I'm going to make my first par of the season later this afternoon.
No, don't say that. One of the season.
I'm just being honest. I'm not going to lie about my golf game.
Probably not going to happen.
All right.
But I like the optimism there.
If I have a par putt, I'm going to have one of my buddies record it, and I'll send it to you if I make it.
And
you won't get it if I miss it.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Stogie in the mouth when you're putting, or where's the stogie at?
There'll be something in there.
Okay.
Hi, how about this? Horace Grant absolutely
buckle up.
Burying Michael Jordan. The details on this are incredible. We'll take a dive into it next. Horace Grant absolutely burying Michael Jordan here this week on a couple different outlets. He is going on the offensive here with Mike. And by the way, I got to read you this text message from Andrew from Leadville. He says, thanks for not lying about your golf game, Zach, unlike Brandon the Mulligan Stroakley.
Oh, wow. I mean, I don't know when I've lied. I've always told the truth. I mean, we talked yesterday about me busting a window. I mean, I said I did it. You know, Mike
hilarious.
Evans called me out, and I said, yep, I did. I yanked it way left, and I was in the tall heather, and I tried to hit a 4-iron, and I busted the guy's window.
That was my favorite part about yesterday's show. What a hilarious story from Evans from one of his
Evans
buddies.
Finds out. Right.
Unbelievable circumstances there, the way that all happened. If you missed it, it's at the tail end of our show yesterday. You can check it out at 1043thefan.com. Just click on podcast. We're right there. All of our shows are archived there after we're done.
You can always count on Stoke.
That's so
Thank
funny,
you.
Man.
Yep.
So good. All right. Horace Grant, in a radio interview with Cap & Co. on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Grant said about the Last Dance and the narrative in there that is sort of sprinkled throughout, sort of a theme, this book the Jordan Rules that was written by Sam Smith back in the day, and really detailed a lot of the ugliness and eyesores of Michael Jordan that no one else really was willing to put out there in the 1990s. He was like sort of like a sacred calf, and he's just sort of untouchable. And Sam Smith wrote this book, The Jordan Rules, and during...
I gotta go get that book now. I want to get it.
You know what? I have not read the whole thing, and I need to do it too. This has sort of inspired me to do it.
Yeah.
But really, throughout the documentary, Jordan has accused Horace Grant for feeding Sam Smith the information that came out of this very small circle of people. You know, the Chicago Bulls players, managers, and brass. And Horace Grant jumped on the air in Chicago and said, it is a downright, outright, complete lie. Lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle this like men. Let's talk about it. Or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and puts this lie out that I was the source behind the book. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources, two, to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point me out? It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it's only a grudge. And I think he proved that during the so-called documentary, when if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off and he's going to destroy your character, end quote, end quote.
Wow.
And I have a lot more to get to, but that's just where we'll start, and I'll take a breath.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you heard him call out Horace Grant, did he call him a snitch, or he just called him out?
He called him a snitch. I'll continue to okay. I'll continue to read here. He said, Charles Barkley, they've been friends for over 20, 30 years, and he said something about Michael's management with the Chicago Bobcats or the Charlotte Bobcats or Charlotte Hornets, and then they haven't spoken since then. And my point is, he said that I was a snitch, but yet and still, after 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why the hell did he have to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you're going to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there, end quote.
Oh,
yikes.
Oh, it's hard to argue with Horace on that point. You know, you're calling Horace out and saying that, you know, he's the one that told this guy all this stuff. And then at the same time, you know, the stuff that you see that happens in the locker room, stories that you hear, you know, hotel room or whatever, and you're throwing all these people's business out on the street like that, that's not right. And we all know the Charles Barkley story about how they were friends forever, and Charles just criticizes Mike and didn't even go over the top with it.
No.
And next thing you know, they don't even talk anymore. So
crazy.
It really is.
It goes back to the conversation that, you know, Mark said it, and the way he said it resonated with me. That, yeah, Michael Jordan is this killer who doesn't care about your feelings, and he'll say whatever he wants. But if you say anything about him, he gets butt hurt, his feelings are hurt, and he'll never talk to you again. And
right.
and that's sort of kind of, you know, he can say whatever he wants. You know, he's telling Scott Burrell, hey, don't let anyone say this guy's a family man. This guy's out on the road. He's out every single night. You know, don't let him lie to you like that. He's saying that on camera, you know?
Right.
Like, golly, man. Horace Grant went on to say, quote, I would say it was entertaining, but we know who was there as teammates that about 90% of it, I don't know if I can say it on air, but BS in terms of realness of it. It wasn't real because a lot of things Jordan said to some of his teammates that his teammates went back at him. But all of that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you want to call it a documentary. He felt that he could dominate me, but that was sadly mistaken because whenever I went at him, whenever he went at me, I went right back at him. But in terms of Will Perdue, Steve Kerr, and the young man, Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch, to see a guy, a leader, to go at guys like that. I understand in terms of practicing, you have a push and shove here and there, but outright punching and things of that nature, and calling them the B's and the H's, that wasn't called for, end quote.
Yeah, that was a little bit over top there. And you kind of hear what Horace is saying. It's like, hey, he knew who he could pick on. He knew who he could, you know, do those things to, and that's what he did. But as far as going at a guy like Horace Grant, you know, it didn't seem like it happened. But they don't show you that. They don't show any kind of pushback from anybody else to Michael Jordan. It was always Michael just walking all over and calling these people out. So obviously it's pretty one-sided here. And Jordan and his crew had all edited powers and did this whole thing. And so what is it going to look like? You know, it's going to be from their perspective and what they want to put out there. And that's kind of what Horace is saying here about, you know, how real is it really that real? Because there's a lot more out there that got edited out or that wasn't put out there because, you know, this is coming from Jordan and what he wants out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things I really have not enjoyed following this documentary is that you need to be of the mindset and the mannerisms of a guy like Michael Jordan to be the ultimate champion. And I just don't buy that stuff. I don't buy it. I don't believe that you need to belittle. I don't believe that you need to minimize and harass the way that Michael did in order to get the best out of your teammates. I think that's hogwash. I think it worked for Michael because he's the greatest of all time, and that's why we sort of rationalize it. But in terms of, like, you know, you need to be like Mike and a killer to, you know, reach this ultimate level of greatness, I'm not going there.
No, I think that's ridiculous. But at the same time, you can be a killer, but that doesn't mean that you have to treat people the wrong way.
Exactly.
And you can know how to push buttons, but you don't have to go over the top with it, right? And you can still be a great player. You can still want to win like nobody else. And that can be your ultimate drive and focus is to win championships. But that doesn't mean you have to just walk all over, you know, Scott Burrell and Steve Kerr and Will Perdue and whoever else and you know, do the things that he did to them. So obviously there's a drive there. You want to push guys and you want to, you know, make them feel some pressure sometimes. But there's other ways to navigate it. You don't have to be mean-spirited and do some of the things that he did, right?
So exactly.
There's a difference, and I don't know, Zach. I mean, how about this? What about is in today's age? Are things just different now? You know, the way that, you know, you see hazing and stuff like that. How, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, it was a commonplace. It was more accepted, and nowadays it's not. And so maybe you look at Jordan and say, well, back in those days, that was just kind of how it was done. You know, when I grew up in the NFL, when I came in 99, there were some old school guys there. Right. And some of the things that they did would not be accepted now. But that's just the way it was. Right. Because that's how they grew up. That's how they had to make it. And they kind of continued that on. But nowadays that would be frowned upon. So you look at Jordan and how he operated. Obviously, back then it was accepted. I don't know if it would be accepted as much now. You see Kobe and how he kind of handled certain situations. He was a little bit like that.
He was. And I'll say this. You know my affinity for Kobe Bryant. He may be my favorite athlete of all time. Yeah. But Kobe did a lot of this nasty stuff too. And he learned it from Michael. Like legitimately. He idolized and worshipped Mike. And he got a lot of his leadership qualities, if you want to even frame it that way, quote unquote, because he was fist fighting his teammates. He wouldn't even speak to some of his teammates. He was being nasty to them. I mean, you Google how he treated Smush Parker. I mean, it's unbelievable. And going back to what you just said, like, it's a different time period. I do think, Stoke, you're making a great point, and I think there's a level of truth to that. But even when you said that, you know, when I got to Baltimore, these guys were, Tony Siragusa and these crazy guys, you know, hunting the rookies with paintball guns and, you know, whether they're throwing guys in cold tubs and stuff like that. You have been clear to say, once I made the football team, it kind of changed. And that, yes. You know, I was a part of the team. It sounded like that switch never got turned off for Mike. You know, this is, you know, he won championships with Steve Kerr and is, you know, giving him a black eye in practice. He was teammates with Scott Burrell for years and mistreated him.
Well, and I'll say this about Scott Burrell. You look at their relationship, and obviously Jordan gave him a hard time, but also, you know, it seemed like they were, you know, it wasn't like that all the time. because, you know, I mean, they gave it back and forth, and it seemed like they got along for the most part. And Jordan would give him a hard time, but certainly it seemed like sometimes it was almost in that kind of relationship with Scott Burrell, it was almost like big brother, little brother. And Jordan did go over the top a few times with what he said. So, you know, you just didn't see everything. You saw just pieces of it with Scott Burrell. But it did seem like, you know, they did have a decent relationship. And it was more kind of, you know, jokingly, and sometimes it did go over the top. But
like tough love?
Yeah, a little bit like that. But certainly with some of the things he said, he did go a little bit overboard there.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was a different era. It really was. And I'm not giving Jordan a pass on some of the things that he did and how he operated. And I just think that when you looked at, you know, his drive, right? Yeah, we saw that, his competitiveness and wanting to win. But there's different ways to do it. There's different ways to get the best out of your teammates without, you know, doing some of the things that he did. But he was allowed to get away with that stuff, obviously, and he continued it.
Yeah, no, he certainly did. I have more here from Horace Grant, because in a separate interview earlier this month with KNBR in San Francisco,
this is the one I told you I did not believe this. Remember you brought this up?
Yes,
I said, no way this happened. I told you this.
You did. But the truth is somewhere in the middle, because Sam Smith, the author of the Jordan Rules, told KNBR that, you know, that story of Jordan telling flight attendants not to serve Horace Grant food on the plane after having a bad game. And Grant yesterday said that story's true. But he also said he went right back at Jordan after he did that. And he said, quote, "Anybody who knows me as a rookie, if anyone comes up to me and tries to snatch my food away, I'm going to do my best to beat their blank. To beat their butt. And believe me," he said, quote, "and believe me, back then I could have took an MJ in a heartbeat." Yes, it's true that he did tell the flight attendant, "Well, don't give him anything because he played like crap." And I went right back at him. And I said some choice words that I won't repeat here, but I said some choice words and stood up. Quote, "If you want it, you can come and get it." And of course, he didn't move. He was just barking. But that was the story. But anyone who knows me, where I come from, and what I stand for, come on, man. There's no one on this earth that would ever come and try to take food off my plate and not get their rear ends beaten. End quote.
Love it. Love it. So Horace 8. You know, I mean, Horace 8. I mean, but I love that, you know, they don't show or you don't hear that side of it where, you know, at some point somebody's going to stand up to him. I mean, Horace is a grown, you know what, man.
Oh, yeah.
And so, look, I'm going to eat. You know, I mean, you're not going to tell me I can't eat. And so, look, at some point you got to give some pushback or it'll just continue to walk all over you. And it looks like, you know, good for Horace Grant for standing up to him and saying, no, I'm going to get my food and you got an issue with it. Let's go. So it's there's always two sides to every story. And you're starting to hear some of the other things that are coming out. But good for Horace.
He went on to say, "Let me clear something up about this food thing that he tried to take my food. I would have beat his ass, guys. You come back and you try to take my food, I would have whooped his ass. There wouldn't be no Air Jordans right now. He said, wouldn't be no six championships. I guarantee you that.
That is awesome. There'd be no Air Jordans right now. you go back, well, we've seen him, but you look at that dude was ripped.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And he's a thumper, he's physical, he is nasty. He's a different type of specimen from Jordan. It doesn't matter how high you jump in a fist fight.
Especially on the plane. There ain't nowhere to go.
He said, and Grant went on to say, quote, "The crazy thing, for one of my charities, he sent me an autographed pair of shoes. I don't understand it. If he had some sort of difference with me, he could have texted me. He could have called me the whole 9 years. But if I see him today, we would hopefully pay our respects to each other because we went through 3 championships together. But if not, believe me, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it." He goes on to say he defended Scottie Pippen.
Well, let me hit that real quick right there.
Okay.
Just real quick there. I mean, Yeah, when you look at it, and I think Jordan, you know, when he's doing this, he's just thinking he can say whatever he wants. And then, you know, you call out Horace Grant like that, and you call him a snitch, and, you know, of course he's not going to like it, but Jordan just thinks he can kind of just say whatever he wants, and just, you know, he's sitting there with a cigar and drink and just kind of relaxing and just BSing. And then, but if you're Horace Grant, you're looking at this like, wait, what?
Yeah, right.
You got an issue with me. You think I did this? You know, then you should have just brought it to me. And now all of a sudden, you know, Jordan, like Horace Grant just said, he sent him a pair of shoes for his charity thing. No, you know what? A few years ago, probably.
Yep.
And so he thought everything was cool. And Michael's coming out saying this, and now it's just like, wait, what? But I look at it as Jordan's just, you know, he's fine with Horace. That's the way I take it. He's fine with Horace, and he's like, yeah, Horace said this, whatever. He didn't make a big deal about it. Jordan didn't, really. He called him a snitch, which he shouldn't have said, but at the same time, he's like, oh, yeah, we all know that Horace did it, just kind of in a passing way. So I think – but when you do these things, some of these guys are going to get really upset that you're throwing them under the bus like that, and I don't think Jordan understood that.
Well, here comes my favorite part of these quotes here from Horace Grant, because he was defending Scottie Pippen, who, by the way, Scottie's pissed, if you didn't know. He has not spoken publicly since the documentary. I believe Scottie saw it before it aired, though. And that is my understanding, that Scottie saw it before it aired and was fine, and then when it aired in front of the world and the reaction that the world had to how Scottie was treated, from my understanding, and I'll do a little bit more digging on this, but from my understanding, Scottie...
Reach out to him. Call him.
Yeah,
text him.
Well, I'll hit Larissa and say, hey, can you get Scottie on the Air Force? Because she's doing a lot of defending of him on social media here.
Who's that?
It's his ex-wife.
Oh, his ex-wife.
Yeah.
She's defending him.
Yeah, but some of his finances, he made more money than Jordan and all this, but whatever. So
she knows. She got half.
ESPN's Jackie McMullen wrote
She's
earlier.
A keeper.
Jackie McMullen wrote earlier this month. That Jackie McMullen is reporting that Pippen has been really stung by his portrayal in the documentary. And Horace Grant said, I have never seen a quote-unquote number two guy as decorated as Scottie Pippen portrayed so badly. Grant said when he was asked whether he thinks Pippen was fairly portrayed in the documentary. And they get into the final details of the seconds in that 1994 playoff game. And he says, Horace Grant says, quote, in terms of the migraine, in terms of the 1.8 seconds, Jordan calling him selfish, I have never seen this in all my life. Pip was out there in game six in the 98 finals, could barely walk, getting knocked down on his back, tried to do whatever he could to help the team. My point is, why was that 1.8 seconds in the documentary, the so-called documentary about Pip? MJ wasn't even on the team. Why was that in there? He handled that year really well as a team. Pip knows that he was wrong for doing it. Bill Cartwright stood up and said what had to be said, and then we handled it. It was over. We go on to take the Knicks to seven games. It was over. Why bring that up? That's my question to everyone out there who's listening.
Wow. I mean, that's real, right? I mean, no, it didn't even need to be in there. MJ wasn't even on the team. That was when he was retired. So why did that need to be thrown in there? It was like a shot at Pippen when it didn't need to be in there. And on top of that, you know, earlier in the whole thing, they were talking about the surgery that he delayed because he was upset with his contract, right? Mm-hmm, so you look at that, and I think, I don't know if MJ called him selfish then, or, you know, but he took a couple shots at him then. And I didn't have any issue with that. Look, at some point, you got to look out for yourself, your individual, and your situation over the organization, because in the end, the organization is going to look out for themselves. So Scottie needed to do what was best for him. And if he wanted to delay a surgery, then you know what? I'm okay with that. And his teammates should have been okay with that also. So I had no issue with Scottie Pippen delaying his surgery and waiting until the last minute. And you know what? He missed some time. Well, the organization should have taken care of him, and they didn't do that. So no issue there. Obviously a big issue there not coming on the court there with the 1.8 seconds left because he was going to take the last shot. But you saw him man up and fight through that back issue also on top of that, which, I mean, if anybody's had any kind of back problems at all, when your back's not feeling right, and you can't function at all. So I'm with Horace there. It really didn't need to be in there. What was the point of it?
There's a little bit more,
from
Horace that we will get to, because there's an interesting detail about this documentary that we haven't really discussed. We kind of brushed over it, but there's the devil in the details type of thing.
Right. Sorry to interrupt, but I want to get your thoughts on that Scottie Pippen situation.
Okay.
On the delay in the surgery.
We will get to that in just a second. We got to shout out Rox Heating and Air, ROX, Rox Heating and Air, the Fan Madden Tournament.
Oh,
all right.
Oh.
The highlights of round one between Tyler and myself are live right now on our website at 104.3thefan.com.
Oh, gosh. Okay, can you tell us now, or do we still, you can't?
I ended up losing. No one go look at this. One go to 104.3thefan.com and watch this video, all
did
right?
Did you sleep last night?
No, I didn't. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I got arrogant. I was up 10-0 in 4-minute quarters.
And
I went for it on 4th and 4 from my own 35.
You Bill O'Brien'd it.
I did. The momentum swung. The Ravens Stadium was going absolutely crazy. No one go look at that on our website, 104.3thefan.com. It's totally useless. All right.
That means everybody's going to go look at it. Love it.
There is one.
Somebody go look at it and text in ramoslaw.com text line. Let me know what it looks like. 303-713-1043. I got to know what it looks like.
We appreciate our friends at Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. All right. There is a detail about The Last Dance that it just doesn't feel authentic when you sprinkle this thing in there. And I'll tell you why next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 104.3thefan.com.